stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Storage Talk, the Inside Scoop on Tivoli Storage Manager 6 conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Tricia Jung. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, April. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's Inside Scoop on Tivoli Storage Manager 6. This call is being presented via webcast, and you can get the information on the webcast via the link that was in the invitation that was sent out, or if you go and look on Partner World, if you're a business partner, the link to this webcast is also listed there. And the reason for that is we do have some IBM confidential information in here, so we could not post the actual deck. That said, portions of the deck will be posted later on today out on the Partner World and on the Extreme Leverage. So the non-confidential portions of this deck we will post later on today, so you can check for that. So what we'll be doing today is we'll be walking through what's happening with Tivoli Storage Manager 6. We'll give you a brief overview of some of the highlights of the TSM 6.1 release. We'll look at what type of launch plans are the enablement team, marketing, and everybody else is working on. And finally, we will go ahead and look at some of our education and enablement plans, as well as what is involved in the TSM 6.1 upgrade. We'll actually walk you through and demystify that whole process. We'll end with the competitors and what's happening with what they're saying out there and the fear and uncertainty and doubt that they're trying to spread. Okay, so once again, if you are looking for the presentation, it is not posted. You do need to join the webcast, and you can access the webcast via the link that is in the invitation or via the information posted on Partner World. So TSM 6 has been in the making for a long time. It's an extremely exciting release because it does contain so much information and so many new updates and performance changes and everything else. And with all of this excitement, we've had a beta running, and we really wanted to look to our beta customers to see what they're saying about it. And you'll see that the beta customers are very excited about what's in this release. We see them talking about the stability of the code. We see them showing us how fast the actual update was on their servers. We have quotes about how smooth the update was, as well as how this version brings to TSM more user-friendly features and packages it together in a real solid product. So I think your customers are going to be very pleased when they do install TSM 6 with the new versions and the great benefits it's going to bring to them. So with this release, one of the biggest pieces that it has embodied is the upgrading of our internal preparatory database to utilizing the DB2 database technology instead. And with this, if you look back on the 15-year history of Tivoli Storage Manager, you'll recall that TSM has always been a leader with the technology that we can deliver because of the way that TSM works. And as most of you know, the architecture for TSM utilizes an actual relational database to track the information about what's being backed up, who backed it up, what are the schedules, and all of that meta information. And by having that relational database there from the beginning, we have been able to provide a lot more return on investment and a lot more features and functions, things like hierarchical storage capabilities, things like progressive backup, all of these great features that our competitors could not because our competitors were using a flat file. Well, up to this point, we were developing our own database. We had our developers in Tucson actually doing that database development. In fact, IBM as a whole has this fantastic DB2 product out there. And so we saw the advantages of actually merging with the DB2 technology so that now, utilizing that, we have a simplified deployment and management structure with Tivoli Storage Manager, and we're going to see the increase in both scalability and performance on the call. Another feature you're going to see, and we'll talk about that more, is that we will introduce data dedupe with TSM6. And so what all of this is going to give us is it's once again going to leapfrog the competition by having a built-in, underneath the covers, self-managing, world-class database running Tivoli Storage Manager. So what are some of the benefits of this TSM6? One of the first ones you're going to see is the simplified deployment. With the simplified deployment, some of the features that customers will see is, first of all, they'll be able to have greater scalability with their TSM Storage Manager servers. And this scalability will come on a couple fronts. One of the fronts will be the fact that with dedupe running on disk storage pools of type file, they will actually be able to reduce the amount of disk storage space needed to store the same amount of data. And so what that's going to provide the customers is that they'll be able to utilize their disk space more effectively and be able to store more information out there and thus provide more end users with faster restores directly from disk. It also means that we will be able to maintain our normal architecture where we have one single server attaching to multiple clients. And the nice thing about this is, unlike our competition, which has a lot of complex scenarios with media servers and secondary servers, we don't have to deal with that. So we keep our architecture very simple. Another thing you'll see with the simplified deployment is the scalability. And you'll see that now we'll be able to handle more data with the same TSM server. Now, the admin center itself is going through a very large remake. Both the ISC that's underneath the admin center and the admin center itself will now install in half the time and utilize half the disk and memory space. Now, the admin center itself has been redone to improve a lot of features and functions. So when you log on to the admin center, you'll see that it's much easier to use, that there will be a lot of auto refills into some of the for instance, defining a client nodes, you'll get the information automatically propagated into a lot of the fields. Another great feature is that we will now incorporate some reporting and monitoring features directly with Tivoli Storage Manager. We have a subset of the BERT technology that will be shipped with TSM, and the users can install that database on the same TSM server if there's enough space or on another machine, and they will be able to collect information to be able to provide monitoring, real-time monitoring, as well as reporting features, which will do trending, which will give you reports on things like the restore history, the server throughput, the disk and file usage, tape errors. All of these great features will be out of the box, or they can go and they can customize these reports to meet their needs. Now, the reporting features will be able to gather information from multiple TSM servers, and eventually we'll also be able to gather it from other Tivoli products, other IBM products, so that the customer will be able to get a whole IT center view from that. This reporting and monitoring is going to be included with no additional licensing. Okay. So some of the other customer benefits that we're going to look at is simplified management is going to be the database administration. Now, just like the current TSM database and TSM server, the database is underneath the cover. The users do not have to be DB2 administrators. They don't have to worry about the ins and outs of DB2. That is hidden underneath the covers. The DB2 database is installed, managed, and everything as part of the TSM server. The nice thing about having the DB2 as our database is a lot of the autonomic computing capabilities that have been built into DB2, TSM will be able to now take advantage of. This includes self-tuning database buffers. This includes online database reorganizations. So now if a customer goes to level 2 and they think there's some type of issue that might require a database reorg, they will not have to stop the TSM server. They'll be able to do that reorg online. In addition, when DB2 inserts information into its tables, there's a lot more validity checking that goes along with it. So you'll see the incidence ratio of improper data that might have gotten into the DB2, into the database, reduced just because of this additional validity checking. Let's look at some of the scalability improvements that having a DB2 database brings to TSM. Currently, our internal database size for TSM is around 512 gigabytes. That's the maximum. Well, now we'll be able to scale up to 1 terabyte plus. And the reason we have a plus right there is that Test has committed to testing up to 1 terabyte TSM server database size. But in reality, the DB2 doesn't have a limitation on that size. So it could, in reality, scale even beyond that. However, our TSM test group will be only testing up to the 1 terabyte limit. So what this means is we can protect and manage about twice as many objects as our current TSM 5 version. Another nice thing is our recovery log. The recovery log will be able to scale up to 9 times its current size. And the importance on that comes with the ability to now have larger transactions being stored in the log before they're committed to the database, as well as having more concurrent operations occurring at the same time. So now you'll be able to have more clients backing up at the same time, or a client with a larger transaction occurring at that time. Remember, the recovery log is kind of like a scratch pad. So before we commit information to the database, it's written into the scratch pad or the recovery log. This type of transaction increase will enable us to do better protection when it comes to like GPFS file systems or very large HSM managed file systems, especially when we're looking at GPFS where you have millions of files out there that have to be scanned and processed. Another area that this becomes real relevant is when you look at the increase of multiprocessor systems that are out there in the environment. So it's nice now to have the scalability in the TSM server increasing to accommodate these larger machines and the backup load they bring. So let's take a look at some more of the performance enhancements that your customers will see in TSM 6. When we look at the backup and restore processing, this is going to improve up to 50% or greater. And once again, part of this is because of the recovery log size, others is just performance enhancements that we put into the product. So when we look at this performance, we're talking about reduced backup windows, reduced recovery times, all of which are key to our customers for making sure their data, their backup windows are being met, as well as their recovery time objectives are being met. In a previous release, we added active data pools where a customer could just store the most recent version of all the files. And this active data pools was important because it provided for faster disaster recovery capabilities. Well, in TSM 6, these active data pools have been incorporated with our disaster recovery manager planning tool. So now when your customer creates their DR plan, it will incorporate the active data pools and they'll be able to take advantage of that better. They'll be able to do things like be able to track those active data pools, they'll be able to recycle them, know what's off-site, so it'll just give them a clearer picture of their active data pools. We also are seeing a big increase with the expiration processing. And this is important because with the active, with the expiration, a lot of our customers were concerned because their expiration was not completing in time. And so their storage pools were growing because they were unable to flush out the dead data. Well, with TSM 6, we have improved our expiration processing speed, so you'll see the actual speed of the processing enhanced by about 50%. And in addition, we have made it so you can specify to do expiration on a subset of the data out there. So, for instance, you could do expiration just on a client node or a client group. Okay, another big piece of TSM 6 is this whole data reduction piece. And anybody who's been keeping track of latest storage trends, we know that data reduction is key. Well, I want to start off by saying that TSM has always been very thrifty in the amount of data that it stores. With our progressive backup, from the beginning, TSM stored less data. We did not have to do the wasteful full backups that our competitors did. Why? Because of our relational database. We could track that information. So from the beginning, TSM has reduced the amount of data that needed to be stored on the server in the server storage pools. regardless, we understand that it would be very nice to be able to deduplicate data that is redundant. So data that is the same across different clients or different versions of a file, we want to be able to deduplicate that. So with TSM6, we are introducing data deduplication. It will be part of the extended edition licensing, and it will be no extra charge with that extended edition licensing. The nice thing about data deduplication for the disk storage pools type file is that they will be able to store more user data on those disk storage pools, and thus those users will have faster restore times because they'll be pulling directly from disk instead of tape. Our data reduction, our deduplication, will happen post-process. That means it's going to happen after the backup occurs. Now, do not confuse this deduplication with the protect tier, TS7650G diligent offering. That is a separate offering. The diligent offering works with TSM. You can use it as a VTL, virtual tape library, and be part of TSM storage pools. But obviously, there's an extra charge for that VTL. Okay, so we are offering data deduplication. It's going to, once again, occur on the TSM server. It will be a block level, also known as chunks or subfiles. So while we can compare files that are maybe a slightly different version, we'll still be able to dedupe them. So if I just added a new title to a slide deck or something, there will still be a match for part of those files. The deduplication occurs, once again, on the TSM server. It occurs after the backups are complete, which is nice because that means your backup window is not impacted by data deduplication. Now, the data deduplication will look at all types of files, be they backup, archive, space management, database backup. Whatever is being stored in that particular storage pool will be candidate. You can turn on deduplication at the individual storage pool layer. So you might have one disk storage pool of type file that is data deduped, whereas others might not have deduplication turned on. Now, if you migrate that data from the disk storage pool out to tape, those files, those deduplicated files, will be reconstituted. They'll be rebuilt before we put them back on tape. And the reason for that is we do not want to have dedupe data out on tape because that would drastically impact the number of tape mounts and tape searches you'd have to do a restore. So, data dedupe is going to be included with TSM Extended Edition, and it's going to give customers the ability to store more data on disk storage pools and thus improve their restore times. Another nice feature in TSM 6 is going to be another enhancement to NDMP backups. Now, this is really exciting because this is going to be a first-to-market type of integration with the NetApp SnapDiff API. Now, this NetApp SnapDiff API, what it basically does, I kind of think of it as a journal that keeps track of what's changed, just like how on the Windows operating systems and Unix we have a journal-based backup where we can see what's changed and we don't have to scan the file systems. Well, this NetApp SnapDiff kind of does the same thing. It tracks what's changed so that when we go to backup a NAS file system on the NetApp's boxes, we can simply look at this journal and then backup only the changed files. This means you can get your NDMP backups done more rapidly. We also have SnapMirror to tape integration, which is going to enable your very large NetApp file systems to do a secondary copy to media for disaster recovery. So we got two new enhancements in NDMP, the most exciting being the fact that IBM's the first to market with this NetApp SnapDiff capability. VMware. As you know, we have been making great enhancements with our VMware software. We've introduced all kinds of new features like VCB backups and things like that in previous releases of TSM. In TSM 6, we are continuing our support for VMware. And in this case, what we will do is, in conjunction with the VCB, we will do full image backups of virtual machines. Now, the nice thing about this is that not only will you be able to do this full image backup of that virtual machine, which is great for disaster recovery, but if you utilize the VCB tools, you can also restore individual files from that full backup. But you do have to do that from the VCB tool, not from TSM. But the actual full image backup of the virtual machines is integrated directly with TSM and is in an enhancement to the capabilities we already have with our progressive backup of the files using the VCB. We will also be enhancing our support for Windows Active Directory. We'll be able to do individual object recovery. So, for instance, if a user accidentally deletes an individual or a group from their Active Directory, you will be able to restore that. This undeletion is also called reanimation of your objects from the Active Directory tombstone. So it's basically going to assist you with the recovery of those individual objects. We are utilizing the Microsoft interfaces, and it's going to be fully integrated into the TSM client GUI interface when you look at the restores there. You'll be able to see that in the tree. Okay, GPFS. We have had GPFS support for a long time, but what's changing in TSM 6 is now you'll be able to use GPFS for your storage pools and for LAN-free access. And as you know, GPFS is really nice because it's such a large-scale file system that a lot of our customers out there, especially in the medical industries and some of them that have a lot of data out there, really want to utilize as much as they can GPFS. Now, TSM server and client are not the only thing being enhanced. We will also be making enhancements to the other TSM family products, including the TSM Storage Manager for Mail. You're going to see granular item-level recovery capability there. For the TSM HSM for Windows, we're going to add an automatic threshold migration. So what this means is you'll be able to start migrating files when it hits 80% full on this file system and migrate down to 75% full. So this is kind of the same feature that already exists in the Unix HSM, and we'll now be introducing it in the Windows HSM. You'll see enhanced Oracle snapshot support inside of our advanced copy service offering and improved support for SAP and SAN volume controller in our TSM for copy services offering. We talked about the GPFS enhancements, and that will also impact the space management tools that a lot of our GPFS customers are running. And with Fastback, we have a new release coming out very shortly there, and one of the things you'll see with Fastback is that we will be offering Windows Server 2008 and cluster service support. In general, our licensing will not be changing for TSM 6. However, we are introducing some new subcapacity licensing offerings. As you know right now, if you do have a customer who wants to use subcapacity licensing, you can special bid that. But with TSM 6, we will offer subcapacity licensing also for the VMware. And as you know, with VMware, it's kind of tricky licensing because a lot of times the customer wants to be able to just license a subset of their server capacity. And so with the VMware subcapacity licensing, we can license down to a single core. There will be an in-depth Tivoli talk probably in January just on this licensing question, so I'm not going to go into much more detail there. And that, of course, that Tivoli talk will be open for both our IBMers and our business partners. So this next slide, slide 17, is a quick hit value prop, and this just kind of sums up what I went through, where I talked about the enhancements to our database, where now our customers are going to get more scalability and more availability by using the DB2 database. I talked about data dedupe and how this helps with data reduction and improves restore times for those clients storing their information on disk. We looked at the new reporting and monitoring, which is going to enable customers to have more insight into what their TSM server is doing and help them with questions like trending as well as producing reports for their administrators. We talked about the enhancements to the admin center, where it'll be easier to install, take up less memory and less footprint out there. We looked at the in-series NetApp enhancements with the filer backup capabilities where we're interfacing with the NetApp API, as well as the fast image creation for their disaster recovery tapes. For VMware consolidated backup, we can now do full image backup, which is great for disaster recovery of the virtual machines. And we briefly touched on the item level recovery for the Windows Microsoft Exchange, as well as the item level recovery for Active Directory, which both of those give you more granular ability to do restores. Okay, so that was just a very brief high-level overview of some of the highlights of TSM6. Next big question, when is this going to GA? When is this going to announce? We're looking at announcing and GAing this around the time of Pulse, and Pulse happens in February of 2009. Now, in the meantime, we have a lot going on in the way of Tivoli talks like this. We have the beta program, which is continuing to happen. We've got analyst pre-briefings going on. We'll be looking at doing different things with sales alerts and the Tivoli beat. You'll see us coming out with a face-to-face worldwide roadshow. We're going to have some chalk talks with developers where we can really go in-depth and deep on all of these topics, and you all will be able to join and ask questions to the developers directly about the different features and implementation. Okay, well, what are some more of those? Let's look more closely at those enablement plans. I talked about these chalk talks with our developers, and we did this previously with, I think it was for TPC, and it was very successful. So I think we have like five of them planned, and it'll be broken down to very specific topics, and both the IBMers and business partners will be able to call in and just hear it directly from the development, ask the developers themselves questions on this. We will also have a high-level sales talk on TSM6 where we'll explore in more depth all of the features that are coming out, as well as some of the incentives and other things that will be combined with that. We'll follow that up with a technical Tivoli talk, which will go into great depth on all of the new features and functions. You'll be seeing our distance learning updated with presentations on TSM6, as well as our Knowledge Center and Extreme Leverage. And, of course, we will have a worldwide roadshow. This worldwide roadshow is looking to be a three-day roadshow. The first day will be dedicated to STG, where they'll be focusing on their infrastructure and cars. Day two will offer some SVC updates, TPC updates. We'll look at TKLM. We'll do a pitch on Fastback and TSM integration. We'll have a dedupe discussion that looks at all the different types of dedupe out there from Diligent, TSM, in-series. We'll have some sales tool enablement for the different sales tools out there. We'll talk about TBMR, which is going to be a new offering from Christie that we'll be able to resell. And then we'll spend a couple hours just going over the TSM sales presentation. Now, day three will be our technical day where we do a technical deep dive followed by a hands-on VMware lab. Now, this roadshow is going to be going out, once again, worldwide. We'll be kicking it off in January, and it'll probably be running all the way into February or March. This schedule is very, very, very tentative. It's being updated continuously, but we hope to have it solidified here shortly, and we'll be sending out alerts and telling you where you can sign up for it. Of course, with the Tivoli talks that we're offering as well, we'll have those be sent out in alerts. So keep your eye on those Tivoli alerts that come out so you make sure you get the latest and greatest on the education. Now, the external education for customers is also being updated. We do have the Tivoli Storage Manager 6.1 introduction. We have an implementation administration. We have an advanced administrator tuning and troubleshooting, as well as TSM 6.1 differences and upgrade. Now, these courses, we do have Sydney White on the Q&A panel for this call, so if you have questions about the particular courses, you can ask her. With these calls, we have two types of education. The customer can actually go to a class, or they can participate in an online instructor-led class. We do have a VMware demo image that's being developed right now by Cyrus Nilchin and Dan Thompson, and we'll have that available for you all to play with here shortly, too. There is going to be a Red Book, the TSM 6.1 Technical Guide. So if you know of anybody who might be interested in participating in that residency, once we have information on that, we'll send it out an alert as well. Okay, service offerings. TSM 6.1, the customer can install and do the upgrade themselves. However, there are also offerings available if they are interested. Tivoli is going to be doing a storage manager upgrade and migration. And as you know, they also have their quick start and their health check offerings out there. Global Services is looking at doing this type of upgrade service. They also have implementation services available. Business partners. We know a lot of business partners have been active in the beta, and they too are going to be having specific offerings to help customers who are interested in upgrades. So if you do have a customer who's looking for help out there, we do have different offerings available for them. Well, that's a good segue into the actual TSM 6.1 database upgrade. As you know, since we're going from that proprietary TSM database to the DB2 database, there is an upgrade involved. This is an upgrade. It is not a rip and replace. All of the information that is currently out there, be it schedules, be it policies, be it passwords, is still going to be maintained in the new DB2 database. Okay? And it's very important that your customers realize that all this is an upgrade. We are not ripping out and having to have them redo everything. We're going to take all of the meta information that currently resides in the TSM database and migrate that to the DB2 database. And this is basically going to be done in an easy three-step process. Now, this part of the presentation we will post out on Extreme Leverage and Partner World so that you can start talking to your customers about what's involved in this upgrade and start educating them and letting them think about, okay, what way works best for me. We're going to look at the different ways that you can upgrade because we do have a couple methods, and so whichever works best for your customer they can utilize. There is going to be an entire manual dedicated to the upgrade process, and part of that includes a worksheet that they can fill out and walk through. And then finally, there is a wizard that's going to actually do the upgrade. So we're going to take a look at these three steps here so you can see what's involved. With the database, there's a couple different ways you can upgrade it. The first is you've got to take what's sitting in your current database and you've got to extract it, and then you've got to take that extraction and insert it into the new DB2. So you can either extract it to disk or to tape and then turn around and insert it into your new database. Or if you prefer, you can extract it, send it across the network, and then insert it directly into the database, the new DB2 database. So with these two pieces, either extracting to disk or tape or extracting directly across the network, you have two additional choices. You can either do that to your current machine, or if you want to upgrade to a new server for some reason, you can also extract to another machine. So let's look first of all at upgrading in place. And in this example on slide 30, what we've done is we've taken our existing TSM server. The wizard will run a command called DSM Upgrade Prepare Database. It'll then extract the database to either disk or tape. It'll install the new TSM 6.1 code, and then it will run the DSM Serve load format and the DSM Serve insert DB manifest, which is just a small file that's created during this extraction process. So this would be upgrade in place. You're utilizing the same hardware, but you're extracting, first of all, to media and then reinserting into the new DB2 database. Well, if you wanted to go to a new server, maybe you wanted the customer thought this would be a good time to upgrade to the latest X series box or latest P series box or whatever, we can do the same procedure. Once again, the wizard will run this, but in this case, the wizard will extract to disk or tape and then turn around and load that onto a new machine. Well, if you don't want to extract a disk or tape, and you just want to do it across the network, no problem. Slide 32 shows the extraction from the current database across to the new database, and in this case, we're just using the internal network on an existing server. Now, as you can see from the commands below, the wizard is running them in a little bit different sequence. Once again, the wizard is taking care of this. It'll give you the options to choose how this occurs. And finally, if you want to extract across the network to a new server, this is how the wizard would complete that. Now, it's important to remember, when you're extracting from one server to a new server, that server has to be running the same operating system. It's not like you cannot do something like extract from AIX and go to a Windows server. That is not possible. The one exception is if you had an HP PA RISC machine and wanted to extract an HP IA64 machine, that would work. But for the most part, it's the same operating system to the same operating system. Well, how does your customer decide which one to do to? Do I extract to a new or existing machine? Do I do a network extract, or do I extract to tape or media? Well, these are some of the considerations, and I pulled this table directly from the manual that will be available for the database upgrade process. The considerations you want to look at are the system hardware, the software, and then the storage devices. Are they available on both machines? Can you attach them to both machines? So when we upgrade on an existing machine, your system hardware might need a little bit extra disk space to be able to accommodate that extract to media, or enough memory to be able to do like an extract across the network, internal network, to the same existing machine. If I'm upgrading to a new system, that new system has to meet the hardware and software requirements of TSM6. And that's a good point. If for some reason your current TSM server operating system level is not supported in TSM6, you would need to upgrade that prior to installing TSM6. That would be a software consideration. And then with the database movement method, if you're going across a network, obviously if you're going to a new server, there has to be a network between the old and the new, or a device that can be attached to both of those machines if you want to extract to a disk or tape. There is one other option, and I have heard some customers considering this option. You could take your original TSM server or servers and basically leave them alone and start a brand new machine with the TSM 6.1 code. And in this case, what you would do is you would start off by utilizing the import and export commands to move any type of schedules, policy, or data that you wanted to from your original machine to the new TSM 6.1 machine. And then you could point your existing TSM clients to the new TSM server and have them start their backups to that. Now, depending on how much data you imported and export, those initial backups might be full backups, so they might take a little bit longer. And then what you can do is you can take your original TSM5 servers and just let the data expire off of those. And over time, you could perhaps run a couple more imports and exports to get archive data or some other stuff from your old TSM5 servers to your TSM6. Now, why would customers want to do this? One reason is if that customer currently has multiple TSM servers and they want to consolidate those servers into one new TSM server, this would be a way to do that. Another reason for that would be if they wanted to go from one operating system to another operating system. They could utilize that, leave it, and create a new TSM server policy. Okay, so once the customer has decided which method to use, now they're going to start planning for the actual upgrade. And there's a couple things they want to look at. When they actually do the upgrade, running the wizard, it's going to use a very large percentage of the system's processors and a very high amount, and the most important resource here is going to be the I/O activity against the disk. And I have an example here that I'll show you in one of our test upgrades actually what kind of IO activity was occurring. So they probably don't want to do this at a key time when there's a lot of other activity happening on that TSM server. Now, the TSM server is going to have to be taken offline for the upgrade, so they're also going to have to accommodate that TSM server being down during the upgrade process. Customers who have the luxury of testing this out on a non-production system, that's a great way to get the expertise needed and to become familiar with how long it'll take, as well as just the entire procedures that you go through. If a customer has multiple TSM servers, have them do one at a time. Don't have them upgrading them all on the same day. Do one, let them gain experience from that, and then on another weekend or whatever, upgrade the other ones. If the customer is running System Storage Archive Manager, which is our data retention, it originally was called TSM for data retention, this is also the software that's incorporated with the DR550. There are a couple extra commands that need to be run on that. There's a repair expiration command that has to be done. So they just SSAM customers need to be aware of these extra steps that have to occur. The database itself on the new DB2 will take about the same amount of space as the TSM5 version. If they are merging multiple TSM server machines together, then obviously their needs are going to change there. Log requirements. The log is also, the new TSM6 log consumes about the same amount of space as their previous TSM5 log if it was running in roll forward mode. But do remember, if they want to scale the log bigger or scale the database bigger, the nice thing about TSM6 is now we can scale it larger if they were running out of space or they wanted to take advantage of being able to have more backup processes and such occurring at the same time. If they are doing the extract to disk or tape, they will need extra disk space for this upgrade process. And if they're upgrading to the same server, then they're going to have enough space for two databases to coexist. Memory requirements on the TSM6.1 server, we have a minimum requirement of 4 gigabytes memory. 8 gigabytes is recommended. So you'll want to take a look at what they're currently utilizing and make sure they're at least at 4 gig, maybe 8 gig. The TSM manual, which will be put out on our Boulder Pub Library site, will have an actual worksheet to walk them through this, so it'll be very well laid out. If the customer has library managers and library clients, then they need to upgrade the server that's the library manager first, and then they need to upgrade the library clients after that. The library clients, if they were to leave them at the TSM5 version, they need to be at least TSM5. They can't be TSM version 4. If you plan on upgrading your clients, you need to connect, to be able to connect to a TSM version 6 server, they have to be running TSM5.4 or later. Now, if they for some reason choose to upgrade the clients first to take advantage of things like Active Directory Store but don't want to upgrade their TSM server, the TSM version 6 clients will work with the TSM version 5 server. And when it comes to upgrading storage agents, that's also version 6.1 server. The storage agents need to be at 5.5 or later. Okay, the million-dollar question, how long is it going to take? The amount of time it takes is very dependent on the type of disk subsystem they have. What we found in our lab is that it took approximately 13 gigabytes per hour was the extraction and insertion rate that we saw. If you're doing, and this was a case where we extracted to media and then reloaded on the same system. If you're doing a network extract, yeah, it'll be a little bit faster, but it is going to obviously require more hardware capability there. Now, once again, this extraction upgrade time is very dependent on the system it's running on. Most important factor, disk subsystem. Why? Because we're doing a lot of I/O against the disk subsystem. If we look at this example on page 40, this is an example that came out of our test lab. We took a Windows 2003 server, X64 Enterprise Edition, running TSM 5.5.2. It was 31 gigabytes of database, we were able to extract the files in about, you can see the extraction times here, and then you can see the insertion times here. In addition, you can see what our actual database, our CPU utilization was, and the disk activity. And you can see the disk activity was quite high, up to 77% for the extraction and up to 89% for the insertion. And this is actually two different cases. One we extracted to file, one we extracted to LTO. So we're running two different cases here. And then we did the insert from file and insert from LTO. So in order to calculate the time it took us, we basically combined the extraction and the insertion, and then we divided it by, we took the database space and divided it by the insert and extract time. So we ended up with 13 gigabytes per hour. Okay. Moving on here. Sorry, I'm not getting this PowerPoint to move on. Just a second. Okay. So when we look at the next piece here, that just stopped sharing my piece there. I'm sorry. The important thing to remember about this upgrade database is that we have a wizard which is actually going to walk the customers through this process. And so on slide 43, this is just an example of what the wizard looks like here. And as you can see, it'll accommodate both all the different methods. If you just choose to extract a disk or go across the network, if you choose to use the same machine or a new machine. And basically, this upgrade wizard just walks them, preparing through the upgrade, installing the server, installing the upgrade utilities, upgrading the actual servers, registering license, verifying the upgrade server, and updating the automation. Those are all the tasks that the actual wizard will do. Okay, so with that said, as you can imagine, this upgrade has given the customer, our competitors, lots of room to go out and create a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt with our customers. And so what I want to do is talk about some of the FUD that our competitors are spreading so that you all can go out there and talk to your customers about what the truth is. So the first thing is customers who upgrade to DB2 are going to have to be DB2 administrators. This is not true. All of the information is being kept under the covers when it comes to DB2. It's installed, managed, just like a proprietary database. Next question, next FUD, this upgrade will be time-consuming. As you saw, this is also not true. So an upgrade of a medium 65-gigabyte TSM server would complete in around 5 hours. If it was a large 150-gigabyte TSM server, that would take them about 12 hours. Yes, the TSM server has to be offline at this time, but this is something that could be done over the weekend. Okay, this upgrade will be error-prone. This is so untrue. When it came to the validity and the accuracy of the upgrades, that was high priority for our development. In addition, when the upgrade actually is occurring, there's a lot of integrity checks that are happening throughout the upgrade process. Okay, next FUD, DB2 will require more resources. Once again, not true. It will scale larger. You'll be able to scale it larger, yes. But it does not require a lot of additional resources. During the upgrade, yes, you will need some additional temporary space. But after the upgrade is complete, you can free up that space. You'll have to re-architect everything and start over, rip and replace. This, once again, is not true. All of the storage pools, the policies, everything is maintained during this upgrade. This upgrade will require an expensive service engagement. Once again, not true. Yes, services are available, but customers can also do this on their own. Okay, some other FUD we're seeing comes with dedupe. In fact, I cut and pasted this one directly from an email I received. It is not dedupe, and it's only being called that to capitalize on dedupe being hot, and you know what free means. IBM would not have bought Diligent if they had their own dedupe coming out in TSM. It's only single instance storage. Plus, with the size of data Ed was talking about, it will kill any app-based dedupe. Every single line in this thing is false. First of all, it is dedupe. It's server-side, out-of-band, block-level dedupe on disk storage pools. It is included with TSM Extended Edition. Yes, we also have Diligent if they would like to utilize a VTL as their storage pool and do dedupe there. The nice thing about Diligent is you could share the Diligent with other applications, but it is a separate Diligent, and the TSM dedupe are two separate types of dedupe. And then dedupe will dedupe any type of data that's out there with TSM. We can do application data, we can do backups, archives, we can do data that was done backed up today, and data that's been in that storage pool for 6 years. We'll dedupe it all. And then the next thing the competitors are spreading is that our dedupe strategy will not get any good results. Once again, this is false. You have to realize, first of all, that TSM has always been very frugal with the amount of data we've backed up. So unlike Veritas and Legato and all those other competitors, EMC, we don't have the problem with full backups like they did. So they had a lot of redundant data to start with. Whereas with Progressive Backup, we had less data. We also offered things like subfile backup, compression. All of that helped with the data reduction. Now, when customers come out with their dedupe numbers, they come out with these 500-to-1 dedupe numbers. And the way that they achieve such a large dedupe ratio is that they do daily full backups and then compare that to doing a weekly full with dedupe. So, yeah, of course you're going to get these incredible change rates. So, yeah, TSM is not going to have a 500-to-1 dedupe ratio, but we are working on our performance people are working on coming out with numbers that reflect the differences and kind of compare it the same way our competitors are making up their numbers. So you'll see dedupe ratios coming out here as we get closer to GA. Okay, so what I'd like you to walk away with this call from is, first of all, take time to talk to your customers. If you're not talking to them, you know our competitors are in there scaring them and trying to get them to do things that would encourage them to upgrade to their competitors' products. You got to reassure our customers that this is an easy upgrade, it is not a rip and replace, and that this TSM 6 has a lot of value for them. It's going to bring them a lot of great functions at no additional charge. Start working with them on planning how they want to do the upgrade. And you yourself need to go get education. Make sure you're signing up for the Tivoli talks that we're going to be the additional Tivoli talks we're going to be doing, as well as the road shows, which are open both to business partners and IBMers, and the distance learning that we'll have out there for everyone too. And then finally, encourage your customers to come to Pulse. Pulse is in February, and it's going to be a great chance for them to get hands-on experience with TSM, both in labs and in lectures. Now, with that, I'd like to open up for questions. We have a whole panel of people online, including Colin Dawson, who's the lead architect for TSM6. We have John Connor and Tom O'Brien, who are product managers. We have Sydney White from Education, as well as Danita Morrison and myself from the Enablement Group.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, simply press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Also, if you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, press star 1 at this time if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. We'll first hear from Brandon Moore.
Good morning. Thank you, Tricia, and everyone who's on the call. I had a specific question about dedupe. You mentioned, Tricia, that you would be able to migrate any data. Does that include any of the non-block data from devices like Centera or some of the older data from when we used to do NDMP backups?
Anything that you can store in a disk storage pool, candidate for dedupe. So if it's an NDMP backup, if it's data from your TSM for mail, TSM for databases, if it's BMR data, anything that's in that disk storage pool is candidate for backup. So in order to do NDMP data, you would have had to push that NDMP backup across the network and out through the TSM server to the disk storage pool.
Understood. Thank you, Tricia.
Thanks, Brandon.
Al Koenig, IBM.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I had a question about the sizing for the speed on how quickly you can do the upgrade. You mentioned that the DB size was based on utilization, and I just wanted to be clear in my mind. Is that utilization based on what's truly allocated on disk, or how much of the database allocation is actually utilized by TSM currently?
This is Colin. The upgrade is only going to apply to physically in use pages in the existing database. So by utilization, we mean, you know, allocated pages in your database that are in use representing data.
Okay. So if somebody has a 100 gig allocated database but only 50% utilized, we're only talking about 50 gig, really.
Right. We're only talking 50 gig, and in fact, we're actually talking a little bit less than that because we're only, if you're familiar with the B plus tree and kind of the way the database is laid out now, we're only going after the leaf page data, so the actual underlying raw data. The database stuff that's used to represent the table structures and the navigation and all that is not stuff that we actually have to go after because the new database will basically create new indices and a new representation for that.
Okay. I had one additional question. It has to do with some of the new reporting capabilities. Are there any enhancements around being able to better report on the data protection products? What we have today is fairly lacking, and I haven't really seen anything that lets me know one way or the other if we actually come out with something to fix that problem, or is it still going to be a problem for our customers?
This is John Connor. The new reporting and monitoring is focused more on server and client reporting. That is a recognized requirement and something we're looking at for a subsequent release, but still not in this version of TSM yet.
Okay. All righty, thanks.
Once again, press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. David Larimer of IBM.
Yeah, thank you for having this. One, I've got two questions, actually, and one redirect. Is that will dedupe work on type equals file?
Right. The dedupe for version 6 is for, and we need to be a little more clear on this, it's for device type of type equals file.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So, it is on disk, but as it relates to the file device class.
Okay. A second question is that is if I do server-to-server copying of type equals file, is that going to be a dedupe transfer, or is that going to explode it out again when it goes to the other TSM server?
Yeah, at this point, it would explode it back out. So,
okay.
Whether you're transferring between servers or going to an export, you know, direct to tape, for example, or to media, or just moving from a dedupe pool to a non-dedupe pool, will actually recompose that data and move an individual file with its full representation.
Okay. The next question I have is concerning raw partitions. I've heard that raw partitions are not going to be supported in this. Is this correct?
As it relates to database and recovery log space, yes.
Okay, so a disaster recovery, we're going to have to basically do some form of format in order to get the new database to put in before we can actually do a database reload. Is that correct?
I'm trying to think. The restore, for instance, if you're restoring the database, He just needs the directory structure, and there's parameters on the command that will tell you that, you know, in terms of whether I'm using the existing, the same, you know, space representation or if I'm using a different one. So long as there's a file system there and we can use the same storage targets or update to use the new storage targets, you know, the database processing under the covers is going to lay out the new database for you.
Okay.
So you don't have to go pre-format a new database. You just have to make sure you've got the space available, and then just do the restore command at that point.
So that DFM format is eliminated then?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
DSM format, the only place where that would still be applicable is if you need to allocate, you know, storage pool disk volumes.
Right.
For database and recovery log space, it's purely managed by the database now.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Once again, star one, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. We have a follow-up from Brandon Moore.
I'd like to follow up on Dave's point, and I'm about to get in the weeds right now, but I just want to understand, with that resource process in DB2, under the covers, is DB2 having to create containers as a function of this? Is it the normal way that happens? Are we going to be able to find out specifically what DB2 is doing? Because my thought, I know with DB2, when I've had customers restore, when they set up a database initially, they have to create these constructs called containers which sit on file systems, and then the data can actually be restored into it. Is that going to be happening under the covers, or do I need to talk to somebody else?
No, that happens under the covers. As our storage allocation relates to the database and the recovery log, we're exploiting a capability that DB2 has called auto storage.
Okay.
So basically, from a TSM perspective, because we're running with this auto storage capability from DB2's perspective, all we pretty much have to do is just point it at, you know, your storage locations, which, you know, are pretty much directory paths or, you know, LUNs and directories and that kind of stuff. And DB2 will, on our behalf, basically take care of creating containers, laying out the data, and all of the underlying DB2 structures that it needs in order to contain that or represent that. So you do not need to, you know, as part of the recovery of TSM, you don't have to go figure out, okay, I need to create these DB2 containers and map all this stuff out for the database. That's all being taken care of under the covers by DB2 on our behalf.
Okay, just wanted clarification with that. Thank you.
And as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, press star 1 at this time. We'll pause for a moment. Isaac Dieber of IBM.
Hi there, everybody. My question is just around exploiting the functionality of the DB2 Health Center as it stands today. Will this be an option when using it with TSM?
Yes. If an administrator wants to use DB2 administrative tools, like, for instance, the DB2 Health Monitor, you know, provided they want to open up their environment and use the administrative credentials and stuff to get to that, they can do that. Kind of related to that, though, TSM, for instance, is using some of the health monitor alerts that DB2 provides under the covers on our behalf to do things like, you know, decide that you need to do a database backup and do an automatic database backup instead of the way we used to do the triggered database backups in earlier versions like 5.5 and such.
Okay. My next question would be around the reporting capabilities. Is there going to be a... Are we going to be able to keep a history of the amount of backups that failed, for instance, so we'll be able to put an SLA report or something like that?
This is John Connor. I'm not 100% sure. Most of the reports that we're delivering are similar to what's in operational reporting today, so I'd have to go check on that.
Okay, so we're not going to – I know – IBM probably tell their customers or we like using the tool called Bacarda for these reporting functionalities and things like that. So we haven't sort of brought this into TSM 6 at all.
Well, we're not integrating Bacarda, no. If that was your question.
Not integrating Bacarda. My question is more around eliminating Bocata and allowing TSM6 to take over in terms of giving our customers the functionality of being able to report on historical data and manage the SLAs better.
Yeah, I mean, that's our goal. I just don't if you could ask your question again, I've got a list of the reports that we have in front of me now. Which one was, what were you looking at again?
Well, a basic report would be on success rate for the month in terms of, you know, SLA, meeting your SLA in terms of you need to have a success rate of 99%, for instance, for the month. Does it track this?
I'll have to get, if I can get your name, and I'll get back to you because I don't know for sure, but I believe we do. I mean, it's in there, and if it's not in there, the capability to add reports with the BERT tool is there. So if we don't have a report or a capability, we hopefully should be able to easily add it based on the BERT infrastructure.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And your name again, I'm sorry.
Is it AK?
They got cut off.
The name was Isaac DeBeer.
That's right.
Okay.
Next, we'll hear from James Martin of IBM.
Hi, Tricia. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
You had two questions. One, in terms of monitoring, I had a potential customer that wanted to have real-time monitoring to track the database, actually the backup of all your servers, the progress, what's being backed up, and things like that. Are those things that are going to be included in the monitoring that we're talking about in version 6?
Yeah, some of the monitoring you'll see real-time will be things like scheduled client activity, errors, backup stats. And just like the reporting, you will also be able to customize the monitoring if there's something specific you're looking at, wanting to look at.
Okay. Is there a place I can get more detail on that today, or do I need to wait?
The beta program might have additional information on that. Or if you had a customer who wanted to try that out, we could get them on the beta program.
Okay. And last quick question for TSM for Fastback. Can you clarify when we're going to have deduplication in the Fastback component?
Tom, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, this is John Connor. That's on our roadmap. I can't tell you. It's an important requirement, but I can't give you a target date yet. But we recognize that as a requirement in the Fastback product. But
do you think it'll be 09, or is it hard to say?
Hard to say.
Okay, don't mean to pick.
Let me just say it's pretty high on the list. I just can't. I don't want to give you a timetable because that could change.
Okay, and while I got you, how about support for Linux and Fastback? Do we have a rough
that's time probably time? One of the highest ones on the list, and that I'm hopeful that will be in 2009.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Dates could change and all the traditional disclaimers.
Right. Okay, thank you.
David Larimer of IBM.
Yes, I'd like to verify the upgrade process. I understand from what Tricia said is that the library manager is upgraded first, and the library manager, a 6.1 library manager, will work with a 5.5 and 5.4 TSM servers. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
Okay. Then after that, the TSM servers are upgraded to 6.0, and they will work with any 5.4 and 5.5 client. Am I correct on that?
Right. The version 6 server maintains backward compatibility with our clients the way we always have.
Okay.
So,
with the one caveat is if you have multiple TSM server instances on one server, on
right,
one machine.
That was my other question. How do we do that? If I've got 3 instances of TSM on a single server, what's the upgrade process then? All 3 at the same time?
Correct. You would start off with one, finish that, and then do the next and the next. So, yes, they'd all have to be completed before you could run them off.
Okay. Then the other question is storage agents. they are probably you have to do those, the client and the storage agent at the same time at that point?
Well, I mean, from a storage agent perspective, a version 6 server will support, like, for instance, a 5.5 storage agent working with it.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's going to work with a 5.2 storage agent, but we're definitely testing compatibility with a 5.5 storage agent. So that way, if you're on currently supported storage agent levels, the expectation is that those storage agents will still work with a version 6 server.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to know. All right.
Because, I mean, we certainly have felt the pain over the years of forcing storage agent upgrades and have done a lot of work to try and decouple the protocol so that we're a lot more flexible with that. So we are testing, for instance, a 5.5 storage agent with a version 6 server, and that's working just fine.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
And it appears there are no further questions at this time.
So thank you for joining the call today. We will have one additional call this evening at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We will have the presentation portions of it posted later on today at Extreme Leverage and on the partner world. And I just want you all to take the time to go out, reach out to your customers, let them know about all the great features, functions, and the ease of upgrade that's coming with CSM6. Because I think we really have a great product here, very solid, with a lot of great return on investment for your customers. Thanks again.
That does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.